Chapter 7. Broken Trust. Look out! I shove Lana harder than intended. She gives a cry, crashing into the ground by the half-smothered torch, bolts flying from her quiver in a clatter. I'm dead, I think, as the demon hits me, claws scrabbling. I should have listened to Mother, should have listened to everyone. But the wards on my breastplate flare to life, and the calling's claws find no purchase. As its weight bears me to the ground, I instinctively revert to Wanda's training, using the demon's momentum to redirect the takedown. We hit the dirt, and I use the rebound to roll into a dominant position above the writhing mass of muscle and claws. The demon isn't much larger than a shepherd's hound, and its long limbs, perfect for leaping from tree to tree, aren't jointed to strike at me while it's prone. But it is not defenseless. Armor, thick and rigid like bark, covers the creature from head to toe. There are warded gauntlets hanging from my belt, but there's no time to put them on. I ball a bare fist and punch the demon in the head. It's like punching a tree. Rough scales skin my knuckles, and the bones of my hand blaze with pain. But I feel the softer flesh beneath jolt as I strike the wood demon's exoskeleton. I hit it again, and again after that, struggling to keep it pinned. I glance at Lana, seeing her frozen with fear right where she struck the ground. Run! Get help! There's no time to see if she complies. The demon twists and avoids my next punch, then snaps its jaws at my arm before I can retract. Rows of razor teeth close on my biceps, but the warded armlet from the Crasian market flares to life. It keeps the demon from biting the arm clean off, but it still gets hold of me in its powerful jaws. I scream and try to yank free, but it only makes the demon thrash and clamp down harder. I'm thrown from my position, and my arm jolts so hard I fear it will be torn from its socket. The demon glares down at me, and I know I'm about to die. Fire scorches my face in a shower of sparks. I look up to see Lana draw my spear back like a club, hitting the demon again with the torch affixed to the weapon's end. The calling, unharmed but startled, loosens its grip. I pull my arm free and curl up, kicking the demon in the chest with both feet. It's thrown back, and I quickly roll to my feet, snatching the spear from Lana. Go! I cry, wondering why she doesn't listen, why help hasn't come. It feels like we've been fighting for long minutes, but I realize it's only been seconds. I hear shouting in the darkness, still distant. Lana scrambles for her bow, but the bolt has fallen free. She searches blindly in the darkness for one from her emptied quiver. I put up my spear as the wood demon charges back in, but the calling, faster than I would ever expect for so bulky a creature, pounces before I can bring the point to bear. Again, I am knocked onto my back, the spear held horizontally between us. Like my breastplate, defensive wards that seemed decorative a moment ago blaze to life along the spear shaft. The wood demon fetches up short against it, sparks of magic scorching its armor black. But the calling's limbs are long. Its scrabbling hind talons dig into the gaps in the armor covering my thighs. I howl as they pierce flesh. The demon jerks, the bark across its breast splitting as a spear tip. Its wards blazing white-hot with magic, bursts from the calling's chest. Ichor sprays my face, oily and stinking. The creature is yanked away, and I expect to see Ella or even Selen standing over me. Instead, I see a Crasian woman in a black silk robe and pantaloons. The lower half of her face is wrapped in a veil of pure white silk. The spear she holds is 6 feet of clear glass, pointed on both ends. She kicks the demon off the blade, landing it on its back, and spins the weapon deftly before bringing the point down into the coiling's eye. It gives a high-pitched yelp, thrashes as she twists the shaft, then goes limp. Tst, the woman hisses. Get up. Put your gauntlets on. My face goes cold as I recognize the voice. Mika? She kicks me when I do not comply fast enough. Get up. Apple Hill girl, to us, now. I roll to my feet, staring at the carcass of the wood demon. The ichor that struck my face must have activated the wards on my helmet. I no longer need the torch, seeing everything in perfect clarity, despite the darkness. In ward sight, all living things, Mika, Lana, even the trees, give off the soft glow of the magic. It drifts along the ground like a luminescent fog, venting from the core. The coiling shines so bright it stings my eyes at first, but as they adjust, I see it dimming as ichor bleeds into the dirt. My mind reels, and not just from the rush of this new spectrum of vision. In the fight, I was focused. I expected to lose, but I wasn't afraid. Now, looking at Mika as she stands over the creature, everything that's happened comes crashing in at once. "You killed it," I say. "Psst," Mika hisses again. "It isn't alone. Stop staring. Gauntlets on, spear up, stay alert." "Mika, I'm sorry." Mika lifts her veil and spits, cutting my words short. She turns to look at me, but her eyes are not those of the meek woman who brushes my hair and walks me to class. These eyes are cold, with predatory depth. Terrifying. Who is this person? Was she ever the woman I knew? We will settle our differences with the dawn. In the night, we are sisters always. Lana joins us, a fresh bolt loaded onto her bow. "Who are you?" Mika's voice is flat. "I am Aman's sister, and you will obey me if you wish to live." Lana nods dumbly, and Mika turns away. "We have to get back to the others." Again, I hear shouting in the distance, but no longer fighting for my life, I can make out more detail. They aren't the cries of friends coming to help. Demons are attacking the camp. The camp is not far at a run, especially with the night lit up in wardsight, but Lana remains in the dark, guided only by the light of my torch and the campfire in the distance. She stumbles, and I take her arm to steady her. A booming roar shakes the ground beneath our feet, echoing through the hills. The sound is followed by screaming. In terror or pain, I cannot tell. "Mika!" My cry is tinged with desperation. "Selen is in the camp!" "Tsst!" The glow of magic around Mika changes colour. I can't read auras like Mother, but even I know irritation when I see it. "Be silent!" We arrive at a scene of utter chaos. One of the great wardstones is shattered, and a 10-foot-tall rock demon stands at the centre of the circle. Like the wood demon, the rock has an armoured exoskeleton. But instead of rough bark, this one seems carved from the exposed rock face we hiked past earlier in the day. Greyish stone, sparkling, with silicates. Its talons are as long as butcher knives, and its horns could spear a horse. Black eyes the size of my fists reflect the firelight and the pandemonium in the camp. Smaller coilings race about, savaging the young tourists. Some have found their weapons and are fighting back, but there is blood everywhere, and a number of demons have paused around fallen bodies to feast. Their inhuman shrieks are triumphant as they throw back their heads to swallow great chunks of meat. Selen is easily spotted, standing shoulder to shoulder with Oscar at the centre of camp as they face down the rock demon. The beast rakes its huge talons at Selen, but Oscar is quick, throwing his shield up to deflect the blow in a burst of magic. Selen uses the cover to thrust, stabbing her spear at the demon's midsection. Her aim is true, and the warded spearhead sends glowing cracks spiderwebbing through a small section of the demon's armoured carapace. But she is forced to disengage as the demon swipes a backhand blow at her. It shrieks in pain, but seems more enraged than injured. Lana raises her cranked bow. Mika turns and throws out a hand to signal her to stop, but whether she was too late or Lana too frightened to comply, I cannot tell. Lana pulls the trigger, launching a bolt. The rock demon is too big to easily miss, but the hit is a glancing one, ricocheting off the demon's thick armor instead of penetrating. The rock turns its great head, noticing us for the first time.
Fool girl,
Misha growls, but she does not hesitate. The element of surprise lost, she ducks her head and charges, faster than I can believe. She is glowing brightly now, cuffs on her wrists and ankles blazing with power. I know of these from my studies in the Chamber of Shadows. Mika wears horror jewelry, demon bones dipped in precious metal and warded, providing a limited well of power the user can draw upon. Such things were common during a demon war, but most have since become inert, unable to recharge without demonic power to draw upon. Mika is a blur as she rushes in. The demon roars in challenge, turning a quick circuit to whip its heavy, barbed tail at her. The appendage is bigger than she is, swung with terrifying speed, but Mika never slows, dropping at the last instant to slide beneath it and bury her glass spear in the back of its knee. The rock demon's roar of pain shakes the ground, knocking human and demon alike from their feet. Mika's spear shines white with power, and I can see it running up her arms, brightening her aura like bellows to a flame. The coiling swipes at her, but Mika does not stay in range. With a twist, she detaches half of the double-ended spear, leaving the other half buried in the demon's knee, sending waves of agonizing magic through the beast. Mika rolls away from the blow, talons plowing the ground like a field for planting. The demon's leg buckles, and it falls to one knee.
Selen! Mika cries. Strike now!
Selen's shocked expression goes slack.
Mika? Knees, black heart girl! Mika barks. Strike!
Shaking off her shock, Selen sets her feet and charges in, spear leading. The kneeling demon has brought its chest within reach, and she aims her blow perfectly for the gap between its armored breastplates. The wards on her spear flare as it punches through the armor and into whatever passes for the demon's heart. The demon shrieks, backhanding Selen. Her armor absorbs the blow, but she is knocked away. Like Mika's, Selen's spear remains embedded in the coiling, shocking it with killing magic. Distracted, the demon tries to claw it free, and Oscar seizes his chance, thrusting his own spear up under the demon's chin and into its brain. The demon jolts and collapses. Oscar leaps back to avoid being crushed by its bulk. He rushes immediately to Selen's side, taking her in his arms like a lover. She's shaking as she gets to her feet, but like Mika, her aura is bright with feedback magic from striking the demon, and she steadies quickly. She puts a boot against the demon's chest and pulls her spear free. Mika retrieves her weapon as well. It shines with power as she holds it aloft.
To me! She cries to the other tourists. Rally to me!
With that, she turns and throws the blazing spear clear across the camp, skewering a hill demon about to ram its curled horns into Kayla as she kneels over Giles, her dress spattered with his blood. Of the original 20, perhaps 10 tourists remain upright and able to fight. Mika strides through the group, quickly herding us into a defensive formation, then leads the way as we begin rescuing those survivors too injured or trapped to get to us. The Corlings are on the defensive now, but they do not flee, perhaps sensing the fear and weakness in the group. Long-limbed wood demons with talons like jagged branches and curly-horned hill demons with sharp cloven hooves, black as obsidian. There is a shriek from above, and four girls raise crankbows, firing at a circling wind demon. It's impossible to tell which of them strikes true, but while three of the bolts miss, one brings the creature crashing down to the ground. A hill demon lowers its head and charges me, but this time I am ready, setting my feet and raising my spear. At the last moment, I will drop to one knee and drive the point into its chest. But then a black mist rises from the ground between us, coalescing into Ella Cutter. She shines so bright in ward sight, I need to squint to look at her.
Night!
She lifts a hand and draws a glowing ward in the air. The demon slams into it like a steel wall, then falls away, stunned. Ella is drawing more wards now, tracing them in silver fire with her fingers, then powering them from her aura, like a child might blow a bubble through a ring of soap. The demons still threatening injured tourists are scattered, and then she sets about with killing magics. Heat wards set wood demons ablaze, and a cutting ward bisects a hill demon, dropping it in two nearly identical halves. Another charges her, and Ella catches it by the horns, twisting so hard its neck snaps with an audible crack. Mika goes on the offensive now, retrieving the other half of her spear and reconnecting the ends. This she spins with terrifying speed and precision, lopping off the leg of a sleek field demon that swipes at her and opening the throat of a hill demon. Another hill demon charges at the gathering of tourists at the centre of the circle, but Selen, Oscar and I meet it with a wall of spear points, harrying it back until Lana puts a bolt into its chest. A moment later, Ella slaps it aside with an impact ward. The remaining demons break, attempting to flee through the gap in the wards, but Ella draws wards in the air, sealing them in with us.
"What is she doing?"
Lana demands. "Warded children cannot be trusted," Mother says in my head again. I didn't believe her then, didn't want to. Now I see how wrong I was. A hill demon, trapped, puts its horns down and charges Ella. She remains planted, goading it to approach. Then, at the last moment, she sidesteps, seizing it by the horns. I think she is going to break its neck like the other, but then she does something unthinkable. Hill demons have thick armor plates on their foreheads and snouts, but they are more vulnerable underneath. Ella yanks the creature's head in close, sinking her teeth into its unarmored throat. She tears away scaled flesh in a spray of putrid ichor, but seems to glory in it, spitting out the tough outer layer and burying her face back into the wound, gnawing demon meat and drinking ichor like wine. Her aura dimmed with each ward she powered, but now it brightens again as she draws power from the magic-rich repast. Mika appears at my side. Her spear is at the ready, but it's Ella she is watching, not the demons scrabbling at the wards to escape. Ella sucks the demon like an orange, then casts the rind aside, pouncing on another coiling, scrabbling to fit through a tiny gap in the wards. She takes hold of it from behind, and the wards tattooed on her arms and legs begin to pulse and throb, growing ever brighter. She doesn't even need to bite this one to drain it of magic. The last calling left alive in the circle is a wood demon, 8 feet tall, with long, powerful limbs. It leaps to the attack, but Ella draws a wood ward in the air almost casually, pinning the creature against the outer forbidding of the camp. Magic arcs like lightning along the point of contact, and the demon shrieks in agony. A large knife appears in Ella's hand, and she buries it in the demon's chest, prying apart the armor plates until she can work one hand in, then the other. With a great flex, she cracks open the demon exoskeleton and reaches inside, tearing free its black heart. As the demon falls lifeless to the ground, she holds the prize aloft, like she's giving a toast to the crowd. Then she brings it to her lips, sinking her teeth into the reeking black flesh. "Beware, sister," Mika whispers. "I do not think she will harm any of us without cause, but remain here and do nothing to provoke her in this state." I blink in surprise, but Mika doesn't hesitate, striding toward the warded child as she gorges on the demon's heart. She keeps her spear ready as she draws close, feet in fighting stance. Her words sound unnaturally calm. "Well fought, sister." Ella looks up from her meal in surprise, as if she had forgotten anyone was there. "See, you're finally acting yourself again, Mika." I blink. They know each other? More, this insane, frightening woman seems to know my sister better than me. "I am always myself, Ella Amkutta," Mika says calmly. You're a lion, Ella tells her, that squandered 15 summers pretending to be a mouse.
Even a lion will sheathe her claws when the hunt is over, Mika responds. I never killed for the pleasure of it.
Ella scoffs. Tell me you didn't miss this. That you went thrumming with the rush of it.
I am not, Mika says. Ella picks a bit of meat from her teeth and spits black ichor on the ground between them.
Your aura says different.
I glance at Mika's aura, but can make nothing from the colours running through it. Ella's is too bright to make out any colour save white. She has become a luminous being, but I feel no safer for it. My hand tightens on my spear as she tears another bite from the heart.
Where did you go?
Mika asks softly. These children needed your protection.
Where were you? Ella retorts. When your charges snuck out from under Leisha's skirts and crossed the wards. Don't go telling tales about how this is my fault.
She balls a fist and gets to her feet, ward tattoos glowing fiercely. Her aura becomes a flamework display, hot and violent. I know Mika sees it as well, but she remains calm, her aura calming even as Ella's blazes. This is not a matter of blame, sister. We are on the same side, are we not? Ella blinks, noticing her extended fist as if for the first time. It seems to require an act of will, but she uncurls her fingers, and her glowing wards fade back into normal tattoos.
These weren't the only callings tonight. Scattered a pack of them hunting night wolves.
A ripple passes through Mika's aura. A diversion to draw you away?
Thought the same thing,
Ella agrees.
But ain't seen anything like that in
15 years, Mika finishes. You must skate to the capital immediately and inform Mistress Leisha. Ella shakes her head.
Mrs. Bales will decide what's to be done. But first, I need to hunt the rest of those demons. Meantime, you escort these kids home.
Mika opens her mouth to argue, but Ella fades to mist and is gone.
Selen, Oscar and Lana, Mika calls. Patrol the camp perimeter, but stay inside the wards. The rest of you, start making litters for the wounded. It will be a long journey back to Pump Forge with so many to carry.
What about me? I ask, as the others hurry to comply.
You, I am not letting out of my sight, Mika says. Wash your hands. We have work to do.
I fetch my canteen and a bar of soap, cleaning my filthy, bloody hands. When I return, Mika is kneeling over Tam. He bites on a stick, tears streaming from his eyes, as Mika slowly pushes his intestines back into his abdomen. I retch at the sight, slapping a hand to my mouth.
Tst!
Mika hisses. It is only wind, sister. Bend as the palm and let it blow over you. There is no time for coddling. I've never seen a palm, but I know the mantra well enough. A Krasian concentration technique I've been taught since birth. I swallow back the vomit in my throat and force myself to look back at the wound with calm detachment. I've trained for this. Assisted surgeries in the hospit, but the patients were strangers, and asleep, not sobbing friends, staring at their own intestines when they should be dancing and kissing under the stars. For the remainder of the night, I assist, as Mika, whom I've never seen bind so much as a paper cut, performs surgery on demon wounds with the skill of a herb gatherer. She stitches where she can, and amputates where she cannot, working with the calm of a chef at the carving board. Tears run down my cheeks as I pin her screaming, thrashing patients. At last, the work is done. 6 dead and 7 wounded, 4 of them unable to walk. Mika wipes her hands clean. Rest while you can, little sister. Tomorrow will be a long day. We won't make it back to Pump Forge before dusk with 4 litters to pull, I say.
No,
Mika agrees. The survivors huddle around the fire pit,
but she walks to the far end of the camp, kneeling beside one of the great wardstones and closing her eyes. I follow her. Let me run ahead. I can bring back help. Mika shakes her head, still facing away from me, eyes closed. Her voice approaches serenity, but I can sense an edge to it. No. Selen will go. I'm faster, I argue. Stronger. You know I am. I should take the risk. Mika cracks an eye to look at me. You are the risk. I know the wise course is to leave her be, but we would not be in this position if I had followed the wise course. There is something festering between us, and it needs to be lanced. What does that mean? Do you think it's coincidence? Mika asks, that the first tour in over a decade to see a demon is the one you snuck off to join. My face goes cold. I shiver, though there is no breeze. They came because of me. It makes no sense. Of course they came for you, Mika snaps. 15 years I have protected you, only to have you break my trust and run off into the night, drawing Alagai like birds to a crust of bread. The words sting, doubly so because I worry she is right. But the pain does not make me recoil as it should. Not coming from her. Trust! What trust did we have, sister? Everything I know about you is a lie. Knight, are you even really my sister? Or is that one more thing I simply took for granted? She turns to face me fully now, rolling back off her knees to squat, coiled like a snake. I am the second-born daughter of Arman Jardir, Shah Dharma Ka, and ruler of all Krasia. She rises, taking a step toward me, and I can't help but take one back. My mother, Thalaja, was a lesser wife. So at 9 years old, I was taken from my family and given to a merciless drillmaster, sent to live in the Underpalace. She reaches into her robe, pulling free an object she throws at me. Instinctively, I catch it. My vial of sleeping potion. For a year, Drillmaster Enkidu poisoned our food at random to teach us to recognize the taste. If we could guess the poison, we were given the antidote. If we were wrong, or failed to notice at all, we were left to suffer the effects. If we guessed poison and there was none, we were beaten. She continues to advance, and it's all I can do not to keep backing away. There were 5 of us, then. Spear sisters. Now, my cousin Ashia wears the white turban of Sharumting Ka. My cousin Jarva is bodyguard to the Damaja herself. My cousins Sikvar and Shanvar died with glory unbound, saving countless lives in Sharak Ka. I know the names. The Sharumting were the elite of female warriors of Krasia, and their exploits during the Demon War are immortalized in histories taught throughout the duchy. I hold my ground, but I feel as if I am shrinking as Mika comes to stand nose to nose with me. And what of my service? My deeds were no less glorious. A demon prince fell to my spear. Yet, where my sisters are known throughout the land, I was given a veil and 15 years of brushing the hair of an ungrateful brat who has no idea how many times death has come for her. I stumble back at last, reeling at the thought. What was she talking about? What came for me? Times. This has happened before? Mika's eyes flick to the others in the camp. More than one is watching us, even if they cannot hear our words. We are in the wilds, far from home, sister. We will have a reckoning, you and I. But for now, you will obey.